We have heard already tonight about those that have gone out in our young peoples that have gone to evangelize in various parts of the world. And really that begs the question, why evangelize? Why did they have a heart to do it? Why did they raise funds and, supported by yourselves and by others, go out with the word of the gospel? Why not do something else? I mean, most young people today aren't getting involved in the work of the gospel, evangelizing. So why evangelize? Five brief points, reasons why we should, in this day and generation, evangelize. Point number one is this: it was the first activity of Jesus, and also the last command that he gave us. It was the first activity of Jesus, and it was the last command that he gave us. We find, if we follow the life of the Lord Jesus in the gospel records, that the very first sentence that he spoke when he began to minister, it was already mentioned by Simon tonight in the course of his report. We find it in Mark 1, the verse 15, he lifted up his voice and he said, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." In Matthew 4, the verse 17, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So on the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ, the very first words in his active ministry, they were a proclamation of the gospel message, calling sinners all around him to come and to repent. Leave your sin and trust only in me. So that's why we evangelize. It was the first activity of Jesus. It was also the last command that he gave us. Over at the end of the Gospel of Mark, the final chapter, the verse 15, that's chapter 16 we're talking about, our Lord Jesus says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So when our young people go out, and be it to Newry or over to the Philippines or to London, and take the message of this book, the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are simply following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. The first activity in which he engaged, and the last command that he left us. Then the second reason why we evangelize is this: we have the best message this world has ever heard. We have the best message this world has ever heard. Reference was made to Hyde Park Corner. And in London, if you have something to say that people, or you yourself, are completely persuaded it's valuable, it should be brought to the attention of the masses, then you go to Hyde Park Corner, get on your soapbox and proclaim that particular philosophy or message. Well, there's only one message that gets right to the top of the pile. A lot of people won't see it as being an important message, as has been mentioned. There were many people that refused, had no time for it, and that would have been true no matter where the young people were. But still, it is the best message this world has ever heard. I mean, what compares or competes with the simple words of John 3 and 16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There is no other message with a promise or a story such as this. Romans 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." If we could compress the word of the gospel, and we do it in a sentence there in John 3:16, again in Romans 5 and 8, but in our language, if we put it into one sentence, we would say that Christ died for sinners, so that he might be saved by receiving and resting on him alone, as he is offered in the scriptures. Christ died for sinners so that he might be saved by receiving and resting on him alone, as he is offered in the scriptures. That is our message. That's what our young people took out. It is the best message this world has ever heard. But then a third reason why we evangelize is this: heaven is real. and so too is hell. Heaven is real, and so too is hell. No matter where we open the scriptures and read the message that our Lord has put in the Old Testament, New Testament as well, we are confronted with this fact that according to the Bible, there only are two destinations for humanity, heaven or hell. For example, our Savior said in Matthew 25, the verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." On the one side, everlasting punishment. On the other side, that second destination, life eternal. In Revelation 20, in the verse 15, we are told, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Again, only two categories of people. Those whose names are inserted in the book of life, those whose names are not found there. For those who are found there, they will discover heaven is their home and their ultimate destination. Those who are not in the book of life, then hell awaits them. And so knowing that heaven is real, knowing that hell is also equally real, we must warn people of that dreadful place. Tell them the only way in which your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life is by turning from your sin and accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Why evangelize? Well, we do so because it was the first activity of Jesus and it was the last command that he gave us. We have the best message this world has ever heard. There is heaven that is real and also hell that is real. A fourth reason why we evangelize: God has promised us an abundant life here on this earth. We don't want people to waste their time, go after this, that, and the other, go on a tangent here, a tangent there, and end up, as they will inevitably do, in despair. We know that our Lord said in John 10 and 10, "The thief," and the thief here ultimately is the devil, "the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, Jesus says, am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Out in the world today, they say, "We're living life to the full. We're enjoying the time that we have." And if you read, as I have done, on the opposing side to us in regard to the Giant's Causeway at this moment in time, they're talking about, oh, having a sore head, having this hangover and that hangover, and the length of time over which their hangover persists. And you would think for a while they're having a great time, and then they talk of all the misery and all the despair. And then they start fighting one with another as well. But how typical that is of life in general. No matter where we look, it's what happens. Go among those who are out late on the town at night and you'll get a snapshot of what sin does and where it leads. So despite the claims, despite the appearances, people who do not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ do not enjoy true peace and happiness. In fact, the Bible tells me, Proverbs 13 and 15, "The way of transgressors is hard." A few verses on, Proverbs 13, 21, "Evil pursueth sinners." But if you submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you'll find it's the most fulfilling life that anyone can live this side of eternity. Then you'll be following a divine leader and guide and comforter and helper and deliverer and friend. A final reason why we evangelize: life is only a vapor. Eternity is, well, just that. Eternity. Endless. Life is only a vapor. Eternity is endless. This life we are living is not even a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. And so as we live here, as the people of God, looking around us, seeing many, many people who need the Lord, then we need to be aware of this. We're not here long, and they're not here long. The window of opportunity that we have in which to reach them is short. and shortening by the second. James 4, the verse 14 reminds us, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. And that applies to the unsaved as well as to the saved. We know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor which appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our situation today is best summarized in the words of a very famous hymn. I have only one life on this earth, and as vapor, it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. Only one life, and white are the fields. With compassion this great need I view. This one life that I have, I will yield, and the little I can, I will do. One poor life, small the offering at best, yet the world and the flesh often call. This my answer must be to each test. I'll not serve God with less than my all. Only one life to give. I could never withhold it from God. Only one life to live. I must not miss the well done of God. So if anybody should ask, why are our young people going out with a burden to evangelize? These are our answers. There are many more. But these are the five we're giving tonight. It was the first activity of Jesus, the last command that he left us. We have the best message this world has ever heard. Heaven is real, but so too is hell. God has promised us an abundant life here on earth. We want others to share in that life. Life itself is only a vapor. Eternity is endless. That's why we evangelize.